I was told we can't read the story of Zacchaeus without singing that song, so thank you for singing that song with such gusto. Before Pastor Joel finishes his series of sermons from Luke 19 next week with the Feast of the Father, we're going to jump ahead. His sermons are from Luke 15. I'm jumping ahead now to Luke 19, where we find this story of Zacchaeus and the mission of Jesus Christ. I will be reading Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this, and they began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Some of you have been reading this book in your Bible study this year, The Very Good Gospel by Lisa Sharon Harper. Apparently, this past week in your studies, Zacchaeus made an appearance. In her chapter about shalom and witnessing peace, Harper describes the scene in Washington, D.C. when she joined the throngs waiting for Pope Francis to arrive. "While waiting," she says, "my eyes drifted upward and rested on a tree branch overhead. It reminded me of Zacchaeus. All around me, people in suits schemed about how they could get a better view, and it struck me. Zacchaeus was a suit guy. He was so determined to get a glimpse of Jesus that this chief tax collector scaled a tree to get a better view. Looking at that tree on the White House grounds, I understood Zacchaeus in a new way." Harper continues, "What was going on in his life that drove him to join the crowd? We usually think of suit people as having it all together, but on that day, Zacchaeus set aside his dignity and climbed a tree." Here, Zacchaeus reminds us a bit of that father in Luke 15, the elderly gentleman landowner who set aside his dignity, hoisted up his robes, and ran down the road to greet his son who had been lost. And now Jesus tells his mission, to seek and to save the lost. This theme runs through Luke's whole gospel, both in parables and by his own interactions, Jesus demonstrates that he has come to seek and to save the lost. And I wonder, is Zacchaeus the tax collector the only one in this story who was lost? In that culture in Judea, tax collectors were not very popular because they took people's money. And they often skimmed off the top. And the chief tax collector got to skim off other collectors. Those who collected taxes from the Jews were also Jews, descended from Abraham, but they were collecting taxes for the Roman oppressors. So tax collectors were unpopular among their own people. They were often despised for their wealth, and many considered them cheats and crooks. So Zacchaeus probably had few friends in Jericho. Yet on this day, he wanted to join the crowd. Despite that children's song, he probably wasn't sure yet whether Jesus was the Lord. But Zacchaeus wanted to see this man, Jesus, who was coming to town. And because he's so short, as Lisa Harper puts it, he sets aside his dignity and he climbs up a tree. Just imagine, here he is peering through the branches to see Jesus, trying to figure out what's so special about him. And then Jesus stopped right under the very branch Zacchaeus is perched on, and Jesus looks up and calls out his name, Zacchaeus, whose name means pure or righteous one. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. I must stay at your house today. Now, whenever Jesus said, I must, that's a clue. It's a clue for us to understand that he is talking about how he must do the will of his Father in heaven, carry out the work he came to earth to accomplish. So he has to visit the home of Zacchaeus, perhaps to show that even Jesus is willing to associate with people like tax collectors. So Zacchaeus immediately came down, and the Bible tells us he welcomed Jesus gladly. In the Greek, this gladly is the same word as the word for rejoicing in Luke 15, when the woman found her coin, the shepherd found the lost sheep, and the prodigal son returned home to his father. There's much rejoicing, and now joy bubbles up in Zacchaeus from the moment Jesus calls his name and says he's coming over. But the crowd is not thrilled about this turn of events. Zacchaeus is a sinner. How can Jesus associate with him? This is a common complaint of the crowd. Jesus often hangs out with questionable characters like this tax collector. So they all mutter and grumble because they think he's one of the worst sinners. We don't know about that. Maybe he is, or maybe not. But we do see that when Zacchaeus meets Jesus, he does the right thing. First, he cries out, look, Lord, I'm giving half my property to the poor. Now, the traditional interpretation of this outburst is that Zacchaeus is immediately transformed from a complete cheat to a generous philanthropist. But Greek verbs work a little differently from English verbs, and there's another possible interpretation of this first statement. Here and now I give could also mean I am currently giving half my possessions to the poor. In other words, Zacchaeus might be defending himself before the muttering crowd by reporting that he's already being generous. It's possible he has been living up to his name, giving and living righteously. Pastor Daniel Clendenin suggests maybe the story is not about a sinner who shocks us by repenting, but about the crowd. The crowd that demonizes a person it doesn't like with all sorts of false assumptions. Other theologians also note the potential irony here that maybe a generous Zacchaeus had been wrongly scorned by his accusatory neighbors. But then Zacchaeus continues, if I have cheated anybody, and there that Greek if indicates that usually it's true. Kind of like, if I had cake, then I had coffee. It's true. So Zacchaeus is probably confessing that he has indeed defrauded folks along the way. And now, meeting Jesus leads to repentance and a changed heart. Zacchaeus goes on, "If I've cheated anyone, I'll pay them back 4 times the amount." Wow, that's far more generous than anyone would expect. Here we see a man who's been despised by his community. In this surprising encounter with Jesus, he's so filled with gladness in the presence of his Lord that he becomes a new person. His grateful heart nearly bursts with generosity, and Jesus affirms what is happening by telling Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this household." Salvation has come. Though it may be difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven, here is one wealthy man whose life changes when he meets Jesus. Transformation happens when salvation arrives, and Zacchaeus, the righteous one, begins to live out more fully what it means to be made right with God. Now, it may also be that when Jesus says he's come to seek and to save the lost, he's also speaking to the grumblers, revealing that this son of Abraham was not completely the cheat that they had expected him to be. Maybe Jesus is suggesting that they are lost too. As we've seen before, sometimes Jesus challenges the crowd to see themselves and others in new ways. And maybe that alternate interpretation of Zacchaeus and the grumbling crowd helps us to examine our own assumptions and prejudices about other people. We also tend to mutter about those we see as other. We tend to ostracize the homeless or refugee, the transgendered or abused child, people of ethnic or religious minority, the politician or the activist, the publican and the tax collector, to look at anyone who is different from us as a sinner not worth visiting. And this story invites us to make room in our minds and our hearts to consider the value of each person, to see everyone as someone who is worth seeing, worth visiting, worth saving. Whichever way we interpret this story, whether Jesus was challenging the crowd with their misconceptions, whether Zacchaeus' generosity began before or after Jesus came to his home, this remains true. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Luke's gospel demonstrates this over and over. In Jesus' miracles of healing the sick and casting out demons, in parables about sheep and sons who are lost, and in this story of a wealthy tax collector and a muttering crowd, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. We are all lost. We are lost, whether we're that soup guy who takes advantage of every opportunity to line your own pocket or build up your ego or trample the disadvantaged, or that person who is quick to judge everyone whose job or wealth or status is different from ours. Or maybe we have been doing things as rightly as we can, at least most of the time, and still, something is missing, and we lack direction. We still feel lost. Each one of us, everyone around us, we are all lost souls until Jesus comes and calls our name. Jesus came to seek us out. You, me, your family members, neighbors, all who are lost. When Jesus looks up at the despised rich guy in the tree and invites himself over, well, that might not be what we expected, but Jesus knows how to truly see into one's heart, to discover the deep longing of the lost, the deep emptiness that cannot be filled with status or wealth. Instead of raising our eyebrows in dismay that Jesus seeks even the rich and powerful, maybe we should be cheering. And when Jesus comes looking even for us and sees the empty places within and invites himself in, we might be surprised by his irresistible grace. And then maybe we'll remember that we belong to a kingdom where all people are valued, where community happens when we see others with the eyes of Jesus, where fellowship around the table brings us together as one body. That's the whole reason Jesus came to earth, to do the work his loving Father sent him to do. His Father sent him to do this on his way to Jerusalem, to the cross, when Jesus passes through Jericho. Jesus continues his mission to seek and to save the lost. And every time the lost was found, there is great rejoicing, like the joy that bubbled up in Zacchaeus from the moment Jesus called his name and continued as his transformed heart filled with gratitude and generosity. And it spread through the whole house when Jesus pronounced salvation for Zacchaeus and his household. That joy probably spilled out into the community too, because they might all benefit from the transformation in Zacchaeus. In Lisa Harper's book about the very good gospel, she writes that Jesus saw his desire, called him down, and engaged him in conversation. By ministering to Zacchaeus, Jesus lifted the economic oppression off the shoulders of an entire town. She suggests that Jesus' interaction with the tax collector Zacchaeus led him to enact a form of jubilee, that biblical idea of forgiving debts and returning land to the original owners, like an economic reset button. Whatever Zacchaeus had taken unfairly, he returned fourfold to the poor people of Jericho. Imagine the impact on their lives. The impact on their lives because of the impact that meeting Jesus had on the life of Zacchaeus. When Jesus finds us with that amazing gift of his presence and transformation, what will the impact be on our lives? How are we to respond? With joy and gratitude and maybe a spirit of generosity like that of Zacchaeus. Not just to pay back everything we owe, but to go above and beyond, to give generously, to give of our finances, for sure, and to give of your time and talents as well. If you can knit or knot quilts, craft them for people who need a little extra warmth. Spend your time with someone who needs a friend or a mentor. Make a phone call or visit someone with a meal. Sharing the love of Jesus with people from all walks of life has been part of Neyland's mission for over 100 years. And one of the goals of our building project is to help us live out our new mission statement, which you see up there. Neyland seeks to be a community of hope where all will experience and extend the deep welcome of Christ. We are excited about this new gathering space where sinners and saints, tax collectors and Pharisees, all of us who are lost and found, can come together. Come together to share in the abundant love of God our Father and in the warm welcome of Jesus Christ, his Son. When Jesus finds you and me, all of us, may we be transformed and with grateful hearts eagerly join his mission to seek and to save the lost, the poor and the rich, the haughty and the humble, and to extend the deep welcome of Christ to everyone. In the name of Jesus. the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Thank you, God our Father, for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, for sending him to come and find all of us who are lost, and rescue us from sin and greed and pride and scorn. He has come to save us, and by your Holy Spirit, change our hearts and make us grateful. Help us to give and love and to live so that God can use us to extend the welcome of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name.